good to go? Were we there? Good. What's up, buddy? Amen. So, somebody say, I am a leader. God has given me influence. All right, now leadership is all about influence. Amen? Whether you realize it or not, you're influencing somebody for good or for evil. Okay? How will you use your influence? God's given you a platform. He's given you people to influence. I told you at the beginning of this year on Wednesday nights, I'm going to talk to you about balance. Actually, it was Brian Cash. I was talking to him about this week, and I said, ministry is a funny thing, man. If there's any one word I could give you that describes how to be successful in whatever it is you're doing, Donna, it would be balance. This life for Christ, whatever it is your calling is, because we are all called, amen? Amen? We all have a calling, Dwayne. And so it's important that we understand we live with balance, and that's my desire to teach you balance, because we can't be fruitful if we're living in extremes. If I get off into one ditch or off in the other ditch and I go into extremes, the devil still wins and I'm still ineffective. I've got to live a balanced life. And so you are a real, somebody say real, talking about real victory this year, you are a real leader, righteous. Amen. You're in right standing with God, eternal, anointed. Anointing is the power that God puts on your life that makes you effective in everything you do. There's not just an anointing for preaching. There's an anointing for what you do. There's an anointing for being a dad, Jason. There's an anointing for being a husband. There's an anointing work for working at, Tri-County Electric. Because that's where God's planted you. Right? What, Jetty, there's an anointing for you in your office selling insurance or doing insurance work. Amen? There's an anointing, no matter what it is you're doing right now, God wants to anoint you to be effective in doing that thing so that, Cecil, you do it in such a way that when people watch you doing something ordinary, extraordinarily well, they see God in what you're doing. You do your job in a way, Becky, that gives God glory. And when people see you, no matter how menial, Bonnie, it might look, when they see you doing that job under the anointing and the power of God, then it always points them to Jesus Christ. Amen? No matter what you're doing. I don't care if you're in a barn by yourself milking cows. I don't care what you do or what you think you don't do. There is an anointing there for me and for you. Somebody say, there is an anointing for me. How many of you know on the day of Pentecost, and this isn't in my notes tonight, this is free. So on the day of Pentecost, there was 120 in the upper room, right, Nate? They all had different occupations. Yes? Okay, but here's what I love about the thing. The thing about it is the Bible says they were all filled. How many of them was filled? Anybody get left out? Any generation get left out? They was all filled, right? No matter what they did, there was a flame for every name. There's an anointing for you to be effective in what God's given you to do. And we should be striving to walk in that. So the first thing I talked to you about this year was that we are called to be with Him. First things first. You remember that? And we spent most of the night on Philippians 3:10. And I just kind of want to review that with you real quick. The first things first, we are called to be with Him. Somebody say, I am called to be with Him. Mark chapter 3, verse 13. And it says, and He, or Jesus, went up on a mountain and called to Him those He Himself wanted. I love that. Jesus wants us. And they came to Him. It was their job to go to Him. Jesus calls. It's our job to respond to the calling. Verse 14. Then He appointed 12. Here's why. He appointed 12 that they might be with Him. My first calling is to be with Him. Everything in my life flows out of understanding this simple principle that my calling in life, number one, my first calling in life is to be with him. And then the second thing he says is, and that he might send them out to preach. Ministry followed intimacy with Christ. And then it says, third thing, and to have power to heal sickness and to cast out demons. So signs and wonders, the miraculous, the demonstration of power, because the kingdom of God is not in word. It's not just in some fancy words of some slick-haired preacher, right? But it's in the power of God. There must be demonstration. The demonstration follows the preaching, and the preaching follows intimacy with Jesus. So here's the progression. I spend time with him. Then I step out into a public place and I become the mouthpiece of God. Not until I've spent time alone with Jesus. And as I speak the word of God, the Holy Spirit has something to move on now. The Holy Spirit does not move and work miracles because of me. He moves on the word. Y'all remember Genesis chapter 1, right? God saw darkness, but he said, light. He spoke the word. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. That was Jesus. He speaks the word. The Holy Spirit had been hovering over the face of the earth for who knows how long. Long time. He waited until the word of God was spoken, and then he jumped on the word. The Holy Spirit moves on the word. Amen. That's why you need to come in here with an expectation every single week for your miracle and somebody else's miracle, because how many of you know the word gets preached in here? We don't preach in anything else. You hear the word here. That's why we see miracles and signs and wonders and transformations and incredible things, and people come in all screwed up and 50 shades of messed up, and before long they're in the right mind and worshiping God and celebrating Jesus and living a fruitful life and being an example to every other people. That's what it's all about. If you only knew how screwed up this southern boy you're looking at tonight was. But Jesus. But the grace of God. Thank God for that tonight. So we believe in those things. We believe in the power of God. We believe in working miracles. We believe in preaching. But here's the deal. Our first calling for all of us is to be with him. Everything's got to come out of that. When we get that twisted, we get all messed up, and I've watched people chase ministry. I've watched people chase the power of God, and it's not tempered and it's not balanced by an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, and they end up goofy. Philippians 3:10, and we don't want to be goofy, amen? We want to be godly. We want to be fruitful, not fruity, right? No granola Christians. You know what's in granola? Fruits, flakes, and nuts. Okay, Philippians 3:10, watch this. I love this. Told you, it's one of my favorites. For the Apostle Paul says this, and you know Paul had an encounter with Jesus. And when you have an encounter with God, it radically changes your life. He was headed in one direction on the road to Damascus, has an encounter with Jesus Christ. Life is never the same, and he goes in a totally different direction. And here's what he says. He says, he wrote half the books of the New Testament. He says, for my determined purpose is, what is your purpose, Paul? That I may know him. Let that be said of our lives. That my determined purpose, the thing I'm intentional about, is that I may know him, that I may progressively. Because revelation is always progressive, and you walk in the light you have today. Amen? You don't know it all today. We keep growing in God. You never stop growing. That I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving, the Bible says, and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection. The power comes as I know him intimately in a personal relationship, which it exerts over believers. I thank God that the power of the resurrection is being exerted over our lives right now. We carry resurrection power everywhere we go. Amen. Okay? So a personal anointing flows from personal encounters with the anointed one. Christ means anointed. Jesus the Christ. Jesus the anointed one of the Father. The anointed anointing comes from being with the anointed one. Okay? So we're energized by an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ and the communion of the Holy Spirit. Everything we do for God flows from that place. Because here's the deal. Sometimes you ask people, hey, are you saved? And they'll tell you what they do. Have you ever heard anybody say that? Hey, you know Jesus Christ? Well, I go too. I don't care where you go. Do you know? Right? Well, do you know Jesus? I teach Sunday school. Here's your pat on the back. Good. Do you know him? Right? Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Well, I help cook pancakes. Nah, I'm messing with you. That's okay. Don't get under condemnation if you cook pancakes. But you know what I'm talking about. People connect who they are to what they do. That's so backwards. Amen? I'm Josh Payne. I'm not just a preacher. There's something else to me other than that. I'm a child of God. I want to be identified by who I'm related to, not what I do. Let what we do flow from that place. We've got to get, like I kind of touched on this 2 weeks ago, you got to get the who before the do. Does that make sense? Who are you? Well, I'll tell you, I am loved. That's who I am. That's my starting place in the kingdom of God. I am accepted. I am a child of the King. I am forgiven. I am redeemed. I am family. I am free. I am holy. I am special. I am in right standing with the Father because of the blood of Jesus Christ. These are my beginning places. These are not the things, Kurt, that I spend my life trying to earn my way for in Jesus. This is where I start in the kingdom of God. This is what I love about Jesus. He starts you at the head of the line. You hearing me tonight? Everything you thought you had to work to get, Jesus says, that's religion. Religion says, do. Religion is nothing more than man trying to work his way to God. Christianity has nothing to do with that. Christianity was when God came to man through his son, Jesus Christ, because I was hopelessly and eternally lost. Not only that, but the wrath of God, all of it, abided on my life because of my sin. I was not a good person. We are not all God's children. I was a sinner eternally separated from God and damned for a devil's hell, a place where I would be a trespasser. But Jesus Christ, and it's because of him, it's because of the cross that I am in right standing with God, and God moves me not to the place I ought to be because my righteousness is his filthy rags, but he moves me to the place Jesus is. What Jesus did, Joe, gets credited to my account when I just believe in God. Yikes. That's big. Amen? I mean, that's no wonder the Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? Look at what God's given us. And so everything in my life starts from this place, and it flows from understanding that. I work because I am these things, not to become these things. I don't praise God. I don't go to church. I don't read a Bible. I don't pray. I don't tithe. I don't serve. I don't do any of those things to be a Christian any more than, you know, a dog barks to be a dog. He barks because he's a dog. I can't help breathing. I just do it. Amen? So when I'm born again and I understand who I am in Christ, I just do these things, Misty, because of my connection to the Father. And so it flows out of that place. I'm a human being before I'm a human doing. Does that make sense to y'all tonight? Okay, now here's why that's important. Here's the balance. You all know somebody who's burned out in their walk with God. You've watched people burn out. It's because they're trying. I'm trying to live for God. I'm just trying so hard. You hear them say that. I'm trying to live for God. I'm trying to do this thing. Would you please stop trying? Rest. Trust. Enjoy what the Bible talks about, and I'll read to you in a minute, unforced rhythms of grace that just wash over your life. And the only way we can finish our race, how many of you know we've got a race to finish? Paul said, I've fought the good fight, I've finished the race, I've kept the faith. We all have a race to finish. You've got to finish your race. It's not enough for me to just finish, though. It's how you finish that matters. I want to finish with joy. I want to finish with joy. I don't want to lose my joy along the journey. And the way to do that is by keeping your walk with God first and by keeping it fresh. Is your relationship with Jesus fresh or has it expired? Okay? Keep your relationship with Jesus fresh. That's powerful for us to understand, because if you burn out, you don't do anybody any good. Now, here's the second thing I want to get to you tonight that's new. I want you to understand the power of partnership. Somebody say the power of partnership. Okay. Now, partnership immediately speaks to me of connection, of relationship, of helping each other. I'm not doing something by myself. The one I'm partnered with, we're in this together. And I want you to see 2 Corinthians 6:1. It says this. It says, 2 Corinthians 6:1 says, we then, as workers together with him. Do you see that? As workers together with him. As workers together with him. Didn't say for him. It said with them. It says, I am a worker together with God. I love that. God has always looked for someone to partner with. That's what he found in Adam. Genesis 1:26-28. Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let him have dominion. God gave them power to live over. God wanted them to walk in authority. He established the earth, and then he put Adam and Eve over the earth. And he gave them authority. He gave them control. He wanted them to manage his creation here on earth. And he released them to go do that. He wanted to work with them. Okay? Obviously, that was shattered by sin. But the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:1, we then, as workers together with him. Now, 1 Corinthians 3:9. Watch this one. It says, for we are God's fellow workers. See that? We're fellow workers. We work together. Now, here's the thing we've got to understand. That we are not working for God. We're working with God. And God wants to work with us. God wants to work with you, and he wants to work through you tonight. He desires to. Get the worthiness thing out of your head. Amen? God wants to work with you, and he wants to work through you, but he does not want you to work for him. There's a big difference here, and that's what I'm going to explain to you tonight, because it's going to bring a rest into your life. How many of you know I can work for someone and not work with them? You might have been at a job where you're working for somebody, but you've never even met them. That's not what God wants. That's not what this is about. This is about partnership. Okay? We're working with God, not for him. I don't want to work for God. I want to work and I want to walk with God. Here's why. Luke 1:37. For with God, nothing will be impossible. When I work with God, nothing is impossible. When I work with God, nothing is impossible. I'm going to wait till the back row's smiling. When I work with God, nothing is impossible. Amen? God has called you to do something with your life. If you can do it by yourself, let me help you right now. It didn't come from God. He will never ask you to do something that does not require His intervention and His help, because it teaches me to live beyond myself and to step out on the water. How many of you know it took some faith for Peter to step out of the boat? Everybody else heard the voice of Jesus. Everybody else heard the voice of God. But only one man stepped out onto the water. Sometimes you're going to have to get up when everybody else is still sitting behind. And you're going to have to step out of the place that is safe and comfortable and easy. Let me tell you, I've been living beyond myself for a long time. And that's a scary place to be. But you know what? It keeps me totally dependent on God. And I love every single second of it. And I get to see Him show up in big ways in my life, because they're things I could never do on my own. God has called you to live a life that brings Him glory. One of Marcia and I, our prayers is that we live a life that nobody could take credit for but Him. That's what I want to live. That's what I've always prayed that this church would be. And that's why every other church in this county comes here to find out how to do it. And I say that with all humility, and I mean it. Because it's only because of Him. Unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. We've got another church coming in a few weeks, I hope. And I'm going to throw the front door open to them. And nothing's proprietary. We love showing other churches how they can grow the same way. This church is living proof that God will do this anywhere. People are willing. He finds people who are committed to Him, who have an undivided heart, who are willing to believe Him for the impossible and work their butts off. That was the edited version. Noah worked his butt off for 100 years. Stop waiting for your ship to come in. Amen? The power of partnership. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Now, here's the thing we teach that's very different. It's okay to be a consumer when you're born again and when you come into the kingdom. But at some point, you need to go from being a consumer to a contributor. Doesn't mean I stop consuming. But it means I start producing so that somebody else can experience what I experienced. This is the way we teach discipleship. Discipleship happens as a function of the word. Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed. If you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed. So discipleship is a function of the word of God. That's why it's so important that you be here, you hear the word, you read the word, and you obey the word. It's really that simple. Okay? This is where discipleship comes from, okay? I'm growing in God. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men, right? He said, you follow me and I will make you. I'm transformed and I'm made into what God's called me to be as I follow Jesus. It's my job to follow Him. It's my job to run after Him. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. He's already initiated His step toward me through Jesus Christ going to the cross and the Holy Spirit drawing me to call on the name of the Father. At some point, you got to start chasing Him. He said, call to me and I will show you. Hey, baby, I see you there. She's waving at me. He said, call to me and I will show you great and mighty things which you knowest not. He said, seek and you shall. Knock and it shall be. Ask and you shall. That puts it all back on us, right? So Jesus says, follow me and I will make you. I will make you as you chase after me, okay? Then here's what He says in Matthew 28 before He leaves. He says, go and make disciples. He says, I make you, you now go and make them. Back to intimacy with Him. Unless I've spent time with Him, I've never been made. And if the pattern's flawed, how many of you know the product's going to be flawed? We cannot produce flawed disciples because we are flawed, because we never took the time to be made. He said, follow me and I will make you. And then after they did that for 3.5 years, he said, now you go and make them. I love this. God wants to partner with us. He wants you to go and make disciples that look like him. What does that say about us as the examples and the pattern? Come on, I'm talking about real victory, real people, and real lives. Real means the genuine deal. Not a knockoff, not a counterfeit, not an imitation. I'm talking about being the real deal for Jesus. I'm talking about getting real for God. Amen. Because here's the thing, Paul said, follow me as I follow. I got this Egyptian thing going. You follow me as I follow Jesus. Now here in the church today, here's what we'd say. We'd say, that's arrogant. That's exactly the way God has set up discipleship. Hey, come here. Let me take you in under my arm. Let me show you living proof that you can touch, handle, see, ask what living for Jesus looks like. That's who we've got to be, church. Amen? Because the world is looking for Jesus. Oh, the church has failed them. Religion has failed them. But when Jesus came to this earth, the sinners loved him. And they ran to him. And the religious crowd hated him. Yes, they still do. Do you understand what I'm saying tonight? This is who we've got to become, because this is who we've got to show them. See, compassion is what drives us. Compassion is what compels us to reach out beyond these four walls and go out and make a difference in the world where we live and we work and where we play every single day, and let them encounter and experience the love and life of a God who desperately desires to be a part of their life, and he wants to use you to introduce himself to them. My goodness, I could explode just thinking about that. He wants to use you to introduce himself to them. He wants to use me to introduce himself to somebody who doesn't know him yet. No wonder the Bible says, Grace, maybe you can help me with this, that God pleads with them through us. I think it's 2 Corinthians where it talks about the ministry of reconciliation, that God is pleading with them through us. And here's what he says, be reconciled to God. Come back into right standing with God. Come back into fellowship with God. This is what leadership is all about. This is what influence is all about. I'm talking to a group of people tonight who are going to change the world. That's you. Amen? You've got to get beyond this idea that, hey, I'm just a little person in Bradford or Tioga County or wherever you're from, Odessa or wherever it is. And I'm just going to church on a Wednesday night. No, you're not going to church. You are the church. You are the hope of the world. I didn't say Jesus was the hope of the world. I said you are the hope of the world because you're the one that carries Jesus. Jesus is gone. Jesus went to the Father. He said, now I'm going to partner with people. And I'm going to introduce myself to them through you. I'm going to love them through you. I'm going to meet their need through you. I'm going to talk to them through you. Is anybody getting a hold of this tonight? Amen. I'm still just standing here chewing on it for a second. See, you don't just get saved. I'm saved by grace through faith. It's not by my works. get that tonight. We're not saved by works. But I've been saved for works. Most churches know what they're against, but I wonder how many of them know what they're for. That's one of the things that makes us different. We know what we're for. We know what we're here to do, not just what God asked us not to do. So there's got to be more to life than just what you can't do. Increase. God always goes from lesser to greater. When I got saved, Nate, I gave a lot up, but I didn't give up nearly as much as I've gained. When I got saved and I got born again, I stepped into a much bigger expanse of life. I didn't lose anything. I thought I was giving something up. Until the moment the Holy Spirit regenerated me and God came to live on the inside of me and my eyes popped open, because Jesus said, unless a man's born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. Here's a simple reason why. Dead people don't see. Cemetery next door here. How many of them people you think see? We drive past cemeteries in the car when we're on trips, and I'll say to Marsha, how many people in that cemetery is dead? All of them. Dead people don't see. When I step into the kingdom, I receive greater. Now, let's keep going on this, because I want to show it to you. God wants partnership. I don't want you to work for God. I want you to work with God. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. If you got a Bible tonight, I want to give you somewhere to turn to so you feel like you didn't bring it in vain. Matthew 28:18. And here's another example of this. Matthew 28:18. Here's what it says. It says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Our job's not just to win the lost, but it's also to train them. That's discipleship. We can't be satisfied with conversions only. Amen? And that requires your help to disciple people, because if you think I can disciple everybody, that's crazy. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Here's what I want you to see. And lo, I am with you always. I want to read that again. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus says, go and I will be with you. He says, do and I will be with you. With you while you do it. I will be with you as you go, and I will be with you when you do. He wants to do everything with you. You're never alone. And understand that ministry can never be our Lord. What we do for God can never be Lord of our life. Jesus is Lord, not ministry. And all ministry must flow from a relationship with Him, and He's called all of us to a ministry. Let me try that one again. He's called all of us to ministry, not just the preacher. Actually, your Bible says in Ephesians 4 that my job is to encourage and equip you with the word so that you can go do the work of the ministry. You're the ministers, not me. How's that for screwing you up tonight? Call you pastor. Call you minister. Okay? And here's another example of that. Peter fails miserably, denies Christ three times. Jesus shows up on the shore. Peter jumps out of the boat, runs to Jesus. I love it. He's got breakfast sitting there waiting on the beach for him. That would have been all kind of fun. But anyway, Peter denies Jesus three times. I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't know him. When Jesus restores him, he asks him the same question three times. He says, Peter, do you love me? He says, do you love me? And he says, Lord, you know I love you. And then all three times he gives him something to do. He says, feed my sheep. And then he asks him again, Peter, do you love me? He said, Lord, I know you know I love you. And he said, then tend to my lambs. And he asked him the third time, Peter, do you love me? And he said, you know I love you, Lord. He's breaking down by that point. And Jesus said, then I want you to go feed my sheep. He tells him to feed his sheep twice and tend his lambs once. For me, that means I spend twice as much time focusing on what I feed you than I do on tending. And if I spend more time feeding you right, I spend less time tending. But anyway, that's a side point. But what we need to understand is that he didn't say, do you love what you do for me? He didn't say, do you love what you're going to go do in ministry for me? He said, do you love me? Then everything else has to flow out of that place. Can you say amen? Because here's the thing. It is possible to work for God and it all be fruitless. How many of you remember where he said, where Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of God. He said, Lord, did we not work miracles in your name? Did we not prophesy in your name? What's he talking about? He's talking about things they did for God, things they did in ministry, things they did to reach out to other people for God. And what does he say? He said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. My first calling is to be with him. We don't work for God, we work with him. And here's why. We do that because we're not servants, we're sons. I'm not a slave of God. I'm a child of God. You're a son or a daughter. Woody, you work with family. There's a difference in the attitude between a son who works for you and somebody who you're not related to who works for you. That person's a hireling. Your son has something invested. We are in the family business, y'all, with the Father. And when you work with the family and everybody benefits and everybody celebrates and everybody contributes, then it releases something called joy. When it's going right. Good news is in the kingdom, it always goes right. Okay? But here's what I want you to see. There's got to be a release of joy, and here's why. We've got to have fun. The greatest testimony of all is the joy that spills from our lives. I am determined to enjoy my life. You cannot just focus on and enjoy the good times. You've got to enjoy just what I talked about Sunday, every season that he makes beautiful in its time. Amen? You look at beer commercials. What are they doing on there? They're having fun. Isn't that right? You look at the commercials, things that are selling to you. They're selling fun to you. The world is looking for joy. They're trying to bottle joy. They're trying to package joy. They're trying to sell joy. Here's the deal. Jesus is the only true joy. Amen? And when I work with him, it releases his joy through my life. And other people can see that around me as they watch us rejoicing in the Lord in the things we're doing. If you're waiting until you get to heaven to be happy for Jesus, you're going to be a horrible representative on earth. I love the fact that when I come in here every week, Sunday and Wednesday, y'all are smiling. Because you've been in churches where they wasn't smiling. I come up in some of them. There was anything but joy. And if you're miserable living for God, doing what God's called you to do, we might be missing something somewhere. Amen. Ecclesiastes 5:19 makes it clear, to enjoy your work is a gift from God. Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Matthew 11:28-30, come to me all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Somebody say yoke. That is a picture of us paired up side by side with Jesus Christ. Woody, again, you run teams of horses. You take that yoke don't put them in front of each other, it puts them beside each other, doesn't it? It links them up side by side, neck and neck, hoof and hoof, leg by leg. That's what Jesus wants to do with you. He wants to link up with you. He said, my yoke is easy. Take my yoke upon you. In other words, come walk by my side. And that is how I learn from him. Let me finish with this. Growing up, y'all know my granddad Jimmy. Man, he's my dad. That's the only man who's ever earned the right to be called my dad. We lived with him after my parents got divorced. I stuck to that guy's side like glue. I mean, it didn't matter. He was taking a shower, taking a whatever he was taking. I was in the bathroom beside him. Taking a bathroom. Scoot on out of that one real quick. Y'all know I'm messing with you most of the time. I don't have a dirty mouth outside here. I was always with Granddad. Always with Granddad. And it didn't matter what he was doing. I loved working by his side. It didn't matter how long it took. Didn't matter how dirty we got. Didn't matter how hot it was. Didn't matter how sweaty we were. Didn't matter if we forgot to eat. Didn't matter if we didn't get to eat. And y'all know how much I love eating. I loved being with him, and I would do anything for him. I could almost cry thinking about him right now. I'd lay down my life for him, and I loved working with the man. I would do anything for him. My mom gets remarried when I'm about 4, and my stepdad, he'd always try to get me to do stuff, and I'd do it, but you know, it was one of those deals where I'd do the bare minimum, and I did it grudgingly, and I didn't want to do anything for him because we just didn't get along, we'll put it at that. And he never could grasp why I'd work so hard for my granddad, but it was like pulling teeth to get me to do anything for him. And it's because he wanted me to work for him. But Granddad would say, come work with me. I worked for Granddad because I loved him. And because I loved him, I'd go above and beyond. He didn't even have to ask me to do it. Extra mile, no problem. I'll go extra 8. But my stepdad, I wanted to get it done, get it over with, and go on. Didn't do a very good job at what I did. That was wrong with me, but y'all have been there before. It's human nature. And he never could grasp it. But that's the difference between working with somebody because you love them and have an intimate relationship with them and working for somebody because you have to. Where are you at with Jesus? Are you doing what you do? This thing we call Christianity, are you doing this because you have fallen in love with Jesus? Or are you just doing what you do because you have to? Because you don't want to go to hell. Man. Just fall in love with Jesus. Because I promise you, he's fallen in love with you. And if you'll get a revelation of what I'm talking about tonight, it will place your life on a course where you will run so hard after God and spend your life for him in such a way that on the most important day of your life, the day you stand in front of Jesus, you can hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You are faithful in a few things. Come and enter into everything I've provided for you. When I stand in front of him, Becky, I want to have something to show for what he did for me. Yeah. Has he done anything for you? Would y'all stand with me tonight? Father, we're blown away by you tonight.